Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Just to let you know that tomorrow we're going to be joined by Dr. Abigail Moore, a specialist paediatric dentist with advice on making your toddler's first visit to the dentist as seamless as possible. Hopefully they'll open their mouth. We had that experience in our house. Are they nervous to go in the first place? Maybe you have a child with sensory issues, and how can you stop and spot any decay issues in those baby teeth? If you have any questions for Dr. Abigail Moore on your children's teeth, email us today. cb@rte.ie is the email address today, cb@rte.ie. Now though, children deal with trauma very differently to adults, and if they have experienced homelessness, crime, addiction and mental health issues in their family life or early years, it can affect them for the rest of their lives. And play therapy is being used in some DESH schools to help children work through the emotional impact of distressing experiences that they've had to deal with in their young lives. And I'm joined now by Roisin Hickey, Principal of Our Lady of Victory's Boys National School and also Chair of the Ballymun Schools Network. And Roisin is on the phone and here in studio by Niamh Mullins, child psychotherapist and play therapist. You're very welcome, Niamh. And I know both of you believe that every school in the country should have play therapy, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But Niamh, it might be a good idea if you just explain to us what it is, play therapy, and how it works.
Yeah, sure. So play therapy is a form of therapy or counselling for children, and it's the same as adult therapy, is except for adults use words and children use play. So we often know the therapeutic benefits even for adults, you know, when they want to express their emotions without using words, like, you know, we'll listen to music or we'll play music or dance, and we know that that's a way that we can express ourselves without using words. And children use play to express themselves, and it's hugely powerful and therapeutic.
Okay, and I was just interested to read, when you're doing play therapy, you put the toys out in the same order every time. What's the thinking behind that?
So the reason we put the toys out in the same order is because it's predictable for the children, and they know that every time they come into the room, they're not wasting time trying to find the toys. So in a playroom, in a therapy room, you would have all these little miniature figures, you would have sand for children to play with, and we'd also have art and puppets, and sometimes we'd have games as well, especially for the older children. So that's the reason.
Is it a very long and slow process, Niamh? Because your intervention, I would imagine, is limited in terms of asking that child why they've decided to do what they're doing with the toys, or play with what they've decided to play with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you know, I'm a non-directive play therapist, which means I follow the child's lead. And when I meet parents for the first time, I tell them that, you know, I use a diagram that shows parents that the working phase of play therapy and then the empowerment phase of play therapy. And we don't know how long each phase is going to last. You know, the same way that if you were going to therapy, you don't know how long it would last. You know, so children come in and they go through their issues bit by bit, the same way as if an adult was going to therapy and they were having difficulties with, say, family members. You wouldn't go in and start talking about all your family members all at the same time and expect it all to be, you know, resolved straight away. You'd come in and you maybe talk about one family member and you'd resolve that, and you'd, you know, process your emotions around that. You gain new perspective, and then you think to yourself, wow, that was fantastic, I'm going to talk about somebody else now. And it's same for children. They come in and they go through their issues one by one.
All right, let's bring in Roisin here. And Roisin, play therapy is in 36 children have benefited in 7 of the 11 primary schools where you are in Ballymun, including your own school. Why is it so important?
Hi, Claire. Well, I suppose we find it just to be a fantastic approach to dealing with barriers to education. From the point of view of a teacher and a principal, we have all these beautiful people sitting in front of us every morning, and our job is to teach them, but we know that they are not often available for learning when they sit down in front of us every day. We know that leaving the issues that they leave behind when they walk in the door of the school every morning, it's not possible. If we had a learning difficulty, if we had a specific learning difficulty, let's say, for example, dyslexia, we know that we have strategies as teachers to help to access education for them. Or if you had a physical disability, if you had a hearing impairment, we would find, equipment that would help you. We need to find, and we have found, we believe, something that is really going to help children to access education if they have a barrier to learning that is emotional or psychological, which has resulted from a trauma or, you know, from any type of difficulty that they have experienced, adverse childhood experience.
So explain to us what those experiences are and what kind of behaviour that leads to then, Róisín, that would then send you down the road of recommending play therapy.
Well, I saw some of the experiences. There's such a wide variety of, you mentioned them there in the opening, Claire. What we would see a huge amount of here, and this is the reason that we came together as a group, and that's how I met Niamh in the very beginning, was through the homelessness crisis. And that is obviously a massive trauma and an adverse experience for any child who has experienced it. But we would have a multitude of different reasons why a child would come to school experiencing trauma. There's bereavement, there's domestic abuse, family separation, addiction, experiences relating to crime. There are just so many. And it's very hard to pinpoint, you know, a specific behaviour, but they range from a child who we know to, I suppose, is identifiable, and people would often, you know, experience this, or they might perceive this to be very, very common, which is explosive behaviour or angry behaviour or really bold in the class. And that absolutely happens. But it goes all the way from there down to very low mood, a child who is, you know, deliberately withdrawing themselves from their peers, withdrawing themselves from their teacher, who just can't hear. They're just almost, you know, there's an emptiness or there's a low mood there. Those would be, I suppose, what we would see here.
And how do the parents respond then when you suggest that play therapy might help their child?
In general, absolutely fantastically. Okay, so I my experience of it here is that every parent wants the absolute best for their child, and it certainly isn't news to a parent to know that their child is experiencing a difficulty in gaining, you know, getting to their potential. You know, you've made loads of bright kids, and all children have a potential, and they can't access it. And mum and dad know that. So if I were to say to a parent, listen, you know, we feel they're experiencing something. Is there something that you think might have happened? What would you think to a therapeutic approach? They're, in all honesty, they're either immediately really positive about it, or sometimes it takes a little bit of thought. Sometimes they might have to consider it. But almost always somebody will come back and say, okay, yeah, this is something I think we really need to explore. I want the best for my child, and they're usually so, so pleased that they feel we can help, you know?
Yes, and then
sometimes we're the only agency that can help, because waiting lists are so extremely long.
Yeah, and teachers are often the only ones who see the problems, because you spend so much time with the child every single
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. And we're really trusted by the children, because it's not just a really quick experience where you run in and out of the dentist, or you run in and out and you see, you know, a clinician, you know, sporadically. These little people are in front of us every day for 5.5 hours. So they know them. They know they can trust them. They know how they react. They know they're going to be cool, calm and collected. And they often were the first port of call when they are experiencing something and they feel they can tell us that something has happened.
So Niamh, where do you start then? Once the parents are on board, the teacher's on board, the child is in front of you, where do you begin?
So I would usually have an intake session with the parents. So the parents will come in to me after having spoken to the principal and agree that they're going to come to play therapy. So I will have the parents in front of me and I'll explain the whole play therapy process with them. And the really important thing as well is to get the background information of the parent, to find out the difficulties that the child is having. And then it's always really important to get therapeutic goals as well. So what they would look like would be, you know, maybe they want to decrease the amount of times they're lashing out, or they want to increase the amount of times that they walk away from an argument. Or maybe they want them to be able to talk to them about their feelings. So maybe naming their feelings might be a huge therapeutic goal. And the reason that we have these therapeutic goals is to track, to see the child and to celebrate when we see these changes happening for the child. So the parents are involved and they feel like they're part of the process. They know that, like, I'm not the expert on their child. They are the expert on their child. I'm just with them on this journey to support them and to give them a different perspective on their child's behaviour, because maybe they don't know why their child is behaving in a certain way. And if I can give them a bit of perspective on that, then they're going to change the way they're behaving with their child as well. And it just is easier to tolerate, you know.
So you're communicating with the parents then?
Yeah.
After every session, is that how it works?
So no, sorry. Sometimes I do. It just depends on what the parents want. When we meet for the first time, then I'll meet the child then for about 6 to 8 weeks, just depending. The parent always knows that they can contact me and vice versa. And then we'll meet again for a review session, which is called that. Mm-hmm. Parents come in on their own and we discuss the different changes that might be happening at home. And then we agree then on further therapy, which usually happens, to be honest. 6 to 8 sessions is not enough, really, when you're dealing with, you know, big traumas. And then we just go from there.
And how does the child eventually communicate the trauma to you? When do you know this is working, we're getting somewhere now?
Okay, so when a child starts to play, so if I was to tell you to try and imagine an event that happened to you and you were telling me or a friend, you know, when you start to tell somebody the traumatic thing, you start to feel it in your body as if it's happening. You start to feel the emotions. That is no different to a child coming into play therapy. As soon as they start playing out something that has happened to them, they start feeling the emotions right there and then. And we have this amazing opportunity in play therapy to start helping the child in real time while they're feeling the emotions, how to name their feelings. Because if a traumatic event happened to them, they were probably mostly disconnected. Mm-hmm. They've no idea what that feeling was. And that's where they're getting stuck. So they, in order to move past that trauma, they have to understand the feeling behind it and to be able to integrate that. And also another thing that we... skills that we kind of enhance in children would be regulation skills as well. We're, you know, if you want to say, teaching the child how to breathe, and we're co-regulating with them as well as they're feeling the big emotions, as they're feeling these, you know, really difficult feelings. And, you know, it mightn't seem like much, but these are monumental skills for children to have. Most adults can't even, you know, regulate their emotions and name their feelings, you know. So these are really, really fantastic
skills.
Yeah.
And lifelong skills.
Lifelong
they will
skills.
Benefit
yeah.
from throughout their
and
little
also,
lives.
And also, can I say, catching. If a child who is somebody who often causes, you know, a lot of attention-seeking behaviour in the classroom. If a child like that gains a skill like that, other children model that behaviour. And this is why we feel it's so important to have this in schools, because it's not just the one child it impacts. It impacts everybody. If somebody sees a child... If another child sees a child doing something positive with their emotion, they know that that must be helping, and they model it. And mm-hmm. it sends shockwaves through the whole, you know, classroom and on the road that they live on and on with their siblings. And so it's so, you know, societal. It really does spread.
Mm-hmm. And you, the benefit of this, as you describe there, it benefits the whole class. But do you think, Roisin, that if these traumas are dealt with in childhood, that we actually might just remove a lot of problems emerging in adolescence and young adulthood as well?
Claire, I have no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I have no doubt about that, because we see children stuck, like Niamh described there. They're stuck with an emotion that they can't name. They can't. It's so insurmountable and overwhelming that they don't know where to begin. And when you give them the tool to explain it, it's incredible. The door is open. They are different children. They sleep at night. That's a big thing that we've seen here through the children who have gone through the pilot and the early stages of this. And that's, we're still in the early stages of this project. But that's the one that I see back most of all. It's where children are sleeping better. They're more secure in their relationships. They're more open to to talking about their problems. Just think about that. If you know yourself, if you've had an argument with someone, or you know somebody who can be terribly argumentative or has an issue themselves, it is normally relating to something that has been very difficult for them when they were younger, or that they've experienced that they haven't been able to come to terms with. I see so many children go through our hands here in Ballymun, and unfortunately I have my hand on my heart when they're leaving here thinking, I wish I could do more for them, but we just can't do enough for them because it is so hard to help them through trauma. And I think if we could attend to those traumas, we would make a huge difference to society
in
general.
And that's why, and Niamh, I know you believe this as well, that there should be access to a play therapist for every school in the country.
Absolutely. 100%. Every school. And yeah, you know, the thing is as well, like, you know, it actually is happening up and down the country. It is happening. There's so many play therapists that I know that are working in schools, and it's the schools that are paying for them privately. You know, the teachers don't need convincing. The principals don't need convincing. They already know that this works, you know.
But for parents and for children, that's a luck of the draw type situation.
That's the really unfair part. It's the luck of the draw. And it's about the resources that are around them at a particular time. It's about somebody being motivated and driven and having access to resources. And this is something that should be everywhere. We really feel passionately about that. It should be mainstreamed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you both very much for coming in. That's Róisín Hickey, principal of Our Lady of Victory's Boys National School, and Niamh Mullins, who's a child psychotherapist and play therapist. Really interesting to talk to you both. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.